Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we say that again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, man, I'm excited to preach the word. Am I prepared to preach the word? Not really. But I'm excited. And God's never let me down, so we're good. I've had a busy, crazy week. I know everybody, this season is crazy, crazy, crazy for everybody. I had the pleasure to fill in at the Light Academy at their chapel this week for my brother Gary. Be praying for him. He's recovering from a hand surgery that he had to have with some tendon issues and stuff. And he called and asked me if I'd fill in with him, and I just preached on one verse for them. It was Colossians 3:2, and I would encourage you to go look that up. And it says this. It's a very simple verse. Think about things of heaven and not things of earth. And I admitted to the little kids, I admitted to them as a pastor, I said, last year I made this statement. We were so busy with all the good things that were going on in the community and the church and everything. I said, I can't wait for Christmas to be over. I might as well have said, bah humbug, right? But sometimes we got to be careful not to get wrapped up in good things that we're doing for Christmas and forget about focusing on the heavenly reason why we really celebrate Christmas. Amen? Amen. And we're going to talk a little bit about that at the end when we do the communion about remembrance and why we do that and what we do it for is to remember. But we won't get ahead of ourselves. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you want to find that. We'll try to have most of Scripture on the screen. So if you don't feel like flipping, that's okay. We'll have it there. If you don't have your Bible with you, it's okay. We're going to read through it anyways. The title, if you haven't been here for the last month and a half or so, we've been talking about the model church. This church in Thessalonica was the model church. They were doing everything right as a body. They were being persecuted, yet they were still considered the model church, and we can learn from them. But now we see in this scripture, we're going to take a little shift. So the title of the message today is The Model Walk, and we're going to talk about a life. Well, Paul's going to talk about it. The Bible's going to talk about it. We're just going to dive into it, a life of purity. Today we're going to see a shift in the topic. In the first three chapters of this epistle, like I said, all the focus was on the body as a general. But today we begin this new discussion about the model walk. Okay, so a lot of times it's easy to categorize the whole, or we come in and we say, well, okay, well, we're just talking about the whole church. But it's going to get a little more specific the next couple weeks because it's talking directly to me. It's talking directly to you and your walk with the Lord. And it's not me talking to you, it's the Lord talking to you because it's God's word. Simply put, a life of purity is a walk that lives to please God. So if you look at your own life and you want to evaluate, is my life, would it be pleasing, is it pleasing to a perfect and a holy God who gave his son for me? Is a just God, is my life pleasing to God? And it doesn't mean that you can't ever mess up. But in general, is your life, are you on the track? Are you trying to walk that life of purity? Are you striving for that? You see, a model walk is one that lives as God says to live. All right, and how do we know what God says to live? How is it we get into the Word and we do it? And we hear biblical teaching and preaching, and we read Bible studies, and we read the Word of God, and we spend time praying and say, God, reveal to me what it is in my life that I need to get rid of or something else that I need to do. It's a life that obeys God and His commandments. Okay? It's mighty quiet in here, and we're just getting started. But bear with me today, because God tells us all of these things because He knows what's best for us. In fact, in this passage today, we're going to see the very heart of the message is based on really one of God's commandments, and we'll get to that. And next week, we'll see Paul expand a little bit even deeper. But you see, the emphasis on this passage as a whole is moral purity, a life of purity. So why does Paul open this chapter discussing moral purity instead of some other topic? Well, here's what I believe, okay? And here's what I've seen as a pastor, but also what I've experienced in my life when I wasn't living a life of purity. Immorality is a nasty, awful monster that destroys more lives, more families, and more nations than any other single evilness in the world. I believe that. I believe that. In the career field that I work in, it ruins more families and careers. And we tease about it. Such and such had a uniform problem. Couldn't keep his uniform on. All right? And we're going to be real this morning. All right? Because it tears people's lives apart. And if you've ever experienced this for yourself, or if you've been through it, or you've been on either side of it, it doesn't matter. You don't need me to tell you how deadly it is today. So there's no judgment if you've been there, if people know your business or you know my business or whatever. It's just what it is. It's not good for us. It's a deadly, deadly thing. So before I say anything else, I want to remind us this morning. God's grace will cover and does cover your worst act of immorality that you've ever done or ever will do. Somebody needs to hear that today. All right, so this is not a message of condemning everybody and telling you that if you've ever messed up and you've ever been not lived a pure life or whatever, that you're going to hell and there's no hope for you. It's quite the opposite. God's grace will cover your worst act of immorality as long as you repent and turn to God. You see, there may be consequences you still got to deal with. That's with anything in life. But God can still work something good from it. I've seen him do it. I've witnessed it before. God can still make something good of our mistakes. For his glory, when we turn back to him, he'll use you as an example. That's what he did with the Apostle Paul. Paul told Timothy, he said, I'm the worst sinner of all, but God saved me so other people would know that they could be saved too. So allow God this morning to open up your heart, open up my heart, that we can hear what he has to say to us, because his words are strong this morning. And his message needs to be heeded by not just one or two people that you might think of, well, I wish such and such was here because they really have lived an immoral life. No, 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 no. What do I need to hear? What impurities do I need to get out of my life this morning? So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I know that's a long introduction, but I want to make sure everybody here knows where my heart is today and where God has been working on me and where I believe Paul was when he wrote this. This is what it says. Starting at verse 1, he says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. As we have taught you, you live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. For you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God's will for you is to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Never harm or cheat a fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins as he has solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. We're going to stop there today. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would, that you would speak to us through that. Somebody already here, it's already pricked their heart. It's because I know it's pricked my heart of the impurities and the things in my life of this world that I need to get rid of and I need to walk away from, and I know I'm not the only one. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the rawness of it. We thank you that it cuts down to the very marrow of our bone, right to the center of our heart. Why? Because that's where your fruit, it has to start with the seed finding good soil, deep within the good soil, and the roots grow deep. That's what your word tells us, and then there's fruit that comes from it. You want us each to bear fruit, not to live in that life of impurity, or maybe not even to live in the shame that we have over us, that the enemy puts over us, for falling short of the glory of God. Lord, I pray for freedom today. I pray for peace today. I pray for salvation today to be found in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So just to give us a little direction, all right, and to help us understand where we're going today, I want to point out several points, all right, and we got to be careful, and I got to be careful this as a pastor because I automatically look for the points in a passage. All right, point one is this, point two is this, point three is this, let's close, let's go home. All right? But it helps me, and I hope it helps you, it helps me to really kind of pull out what God is talking to me about or what maybe the passage is saying, because we have to understand what it's saying before we can really apply it to our life. So we have to understand what it's saying. So number one is this. Here's what we're going to see today. Three things. Paul has an earnest exhortation. So he is urging them, earnest urging to them. He's pleading for them. He's saying, listen, do this. Heed this warning. All right? Number two, he's going to show us that God's will for you, God's will for me, is our sanctification. All right? We're going to talk about what that means. So if you never heard that, it's not just some church word that we use. We'll talk about it. And number three, the reason we're going to see why you should stay pure. So if nothing else, if you don't get anything else from this message, you're going to see at the end that Paul lists out some pretty strong reasons. If nothing else, sometimes it takes different reasons to motivate different people. You're going to see some reasons why we are to live a life of purity. So let's look at verse 1 and 2 again, and we're going to jump right into it this morning. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says this. He says, "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you." See, these people already knew the truth. He goes on, he says, "You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more, for you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus." So here we see that earnest exhortation, that earnest pleading, or that urging that Paul has given them. Here we see Paul urging the believers to live a life that is pleasing to God. We could preach a whole sermon just on that one sentence right there. How do you live a life that's pleasing to God? Now, before we get into this point, let me point out something that's important. Paul wasn't rebuking these people. All right, there's some of the books in the Bible, if you look through there, that he was rebuking them for their lack of faith, or they're returning back to these religious ceremonies and stuff instead of following Jesus. And there's some that they had it all messed up and they were wrong and they were forcing people to follow these rules and all those different things. He was encouraging these folks. All right, so this wasn't a church that was all messed up and they were all living impure lives. Okay, so why do I tell you that? He told them that they already knew they were living that way. He said this, he says, "You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more." So this message, this point, is for all of us. That's why I point that out. If you've never fallen into some kind of sexual impurities or anything like that, or no life of immorality, whatever, don't say, "Well, this message ain't for me, because I've never done that." No. Because Paul says, even if you're already living that life of purity, we encourage you to, you better keep on keeping on and do it even more and more. Because why? Why do we say that? Because we're all capable of falling into any of these temptations of the flesh. Amen? The Christian life is often described as a walk, right? We say, "Well, my walk with the Lord isn't what it should be." Or, "I'm just walking with the Lord," or whatever. You know, we can always talk about that walk. But you see, walking, if you really think about it, it paints this picture of traveling, right? It's traveling and staying and walk and moving forward, making progress all the while. And it means that we're making progress day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, step by step. We should be making progress as we walk with the Lord. Walking with God through this life means that we want to walk with Him. It's not, "Well, I've got to follow 10 commandments or I'm going to hell." You got to, it's like, what do you call it, like a mind flip? You got to look at it from a different angle. Say, "No, for what Jesus did for me, what God has done in my life, what God has given me, the gift He's given me, I want to live a life that's pleasing to Him." And if we walk with Him, we have to have that heart, that attitude that desires to please God. You know what that means? It means before we fall into some kind of sin, no matter whether it's taking a pen that doesn't belong to me, or whether it's telling a lie, or whether it's telling a gossip, or just being spreading some kind of rumor about somebody, we stop and we say, "Is this pleasing to God?" It's that simple. And then we listen and we obey. You see, Paul's exhortation here was tender, but it was also urgent. He loved these people. He shows his tenderness by addressing the believers. What did he say? He said, "Dear brothers and sisters." Not you scoundrel church members out there. Well, no, he said, "You're my brothers and sisters. You all are, I'm preaching to you today, but you're my brothers and sisters." And Paul was doing the same thing. But if he was also urging them to live a life that was pleasing to God. And he said, not just, he says, more and more and more. Until we reach heaven, until we leave this earthly body, we will never, never fully reach to be exactly like Christ until we're with Christ. Amen? But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't urge each other and urge ourselves to keep following and trying to please God with our life more and more. So many Christians, this is what happens. We get saved, but we never really strive to please God with our life. Woo! Take that off the list. I got baptized. I'm good to go. I accepted Jesus. I said a prayer, and guess what? Woo, I am good to go. I got heaven. I got the peace of God with me, and I'm going to go on back and live the way I was living. That's not biblical. That's not what Jesus said. But they never strive to really please God. Or they never even strive to walk with God. No desire to grow in their walk with God. They get saved, but they refuse to daily walk with God, to get up every day and say, "God, your will be done, not mine." You see, Christ is very clear about what it takes to follow him. He said, you have to deny yourself, right? We deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. It's no longer about Anthony. It's about what does God want for me? He redeemed me. He saved me. He brought me from the grave and the penalty of all the things that I've ever done and impurities in my life. And he saved me by what he did on the cross and my faith in him. I have to choose. Now, am I going to live for the world or am I going to live for myself or am I going to live for Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 says this. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. Talking about God. He goes on to say this, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil that we have done in this earthly body. You see, Paul, what he's doing is he's urging them to please God with their daily walk. Not only because there will be judged one day, but also because he knew that if they walk with God more and more, if we walk with God more and more every day and we resist the evil, the lustful pleasures and all the things that creep up on us and the enemy uses in this world, that our flesh wants, this is where we really experience fulfillment in life. This is where we experience peace in our life. This is where we really get the blessing of obeying God and him working through us and working in our life, maybe finding a real heavenly purpose when we learn to be obedient and just to walk with God daily. We're called to live a life that is pleasing to God. So there's the first point, is that exhortation to live a life that is pleasing to God. Let's look at verses 3 through 5. In our text for today as we continue. God's will for you is to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sins. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. So here's number two. What is God's will for your life? It's for you to be sanctified. It's for this constant sanctification to be coming into your life. Here we see it very clearly that a believer is to desire to be sanctified as they walk with Christ. Okay? So what does that mean? The definition of sanctification, you can Google it. It means this, the action, all right? So there you go, there, right there. It's got some action to it, all right? That means there's going to be a work in progress. The action of making, all right? So it doesn't say of being made, it says making. So this action just keeps going. God wants to continue working in your life. The action of making or declaring something as holy. Now, I'm going to stop here in a second because that word declaring, it just hit me this morning. Sometimes you got to declare to yourself, no, I am holy because I'm in Christ. I'm going to live a life of purity. I'm not going to fall into that. I'm not going to walk down that path. I'm going to stay focused on the heavenly things, not things of earth. Y'all follow me today? Have I lost you yet? All right, let's keep going. Paul tells us here, this is God's will for your life. It's that simple, right? We should desire to walk with God, obeying him and allowing him to make us more like Christ every single day that we get up in the morning. Can I just be real with us this morning? Do I have the permission to be real this morning? Yeah, okay, so one baby agreed with me. That was fine. Appreciate it, Callan. I think it was him. So many Christians will say they want to know God's will for their life, but they're not willing to be sanctified by God. All right, so what do I mean by that? We want to be saved by his grace, so we want the gift of salvation. We want forgiveness. We want grace and his mercy, but we don't want to be made like Christ because we can't be like Christ and be like the world, right? I saw this thing the other day. I hope I can remember it. It said, you can't be the bride of Christ if you're Satan's girlfriend. You see, what happens is we want forgiveness. We want the forgiveness without bearing our cross, right? We want to be holy without the process of being made holy. We want the presence of God without walking with God. If we could just keep him back here behind us somewhere when we need him, we get him, that'd be great. But coming up here is a little too close because then you see what I'm doing, Lord, and I'm not ready to change that yet. We want the blessings of God, but we're not willing to obey God. It just doesn't work. Church, listen to me this morning. Not sure what God's will is for your life? I can't stand up here and tell you exactly what God wants to do with your life, but it definitely isn't for you to live for your lustful pleasures. So that's a good way to start. So if you're living for yourself and you're living for the world and you're living for your lustful pleasures, I can tell you right now, you are not in God's will. And the best way to find God's will is to walk away from those things and to turn to God. You see, if we want to be sanctified, we have to avoid. We have to run. Paul told Timothy to run from evil things and pursue righteousness. We got to run from sexual sins, especially because that's what we're talking about today. That's what the text talked about today. Why? It's because each one of us are human. Not anybody in this room, no matter your age, your sex, doesn't matter, your background, nobody here is exempt from the temptation of sexual sins. And if we want to be sanctified, which means to be made holy, we have to resist the passions of lust. We have to. You see, when we begin to lust after something or someone, we get so easily enslaved to that lust. Don't you know the devil knows that? Him himself, he is a slave to his own lust and passions because he thought he was better than God. That's why he is the devil. That's why he was cast out of heaven. And if we're not careful, it will put this grip on us, one that is almost impossible for you to break by yourself. Well, I don't know about that, Pastor. How can you say that? Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. It says this: temptation comes from our own desires. All right, don't ever think that God is tempting you or that God has put something on your heart for you to do something that your lustful pleasures want you to do. That's not true. Temptation comes from the evil one. It comes from our own desires within our heart. It says, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Do y'all see the pattern there? Right? The truth, this is true with anything, the passion for lust or sex, for pornography, for same-sex attraction. Oh, well, that's just what's going on today. That's not biblical. Go look at Romans chapter 1. Nothing new under the sun. The same stuff we're dealing with today was the same stuff that was dealing with and ever since humans have been in existence. Even in the Old Testament, in Sodom and Gomorrah, you look at that. They dealt with all these things. Maybe our passion for looking. You ever go down the road and you see someone of the opposite sex and you go, ooh, whoa. You ever done that? I've never done that. We say, well, I've heard people say, well, there's, you know, as long as I look and I don't touch. All right, well, that's how we make ourselves feel better, but I want to tell you something. You remember the story of David and Bathsheba? You know what happened? It started with a look. He looked over and he saw this beautiful woman, and instead of going and saying, whoa, she's taking a bath, I shouldn't have seen that, I'm going back down, he said, I think I'll take another look. And look what it led to. His sin was allowed to grow, and it gave birth to literal death. The death of their son, the death of Uriah, it's just what it does. Either way, we must settle in our hearts and our minds that we want to live for Christ. Well, somebody here is saying, well, I don't look at pornography, and I don't have same-sex attraction. I don't really lust after sex or anything like that. I don't have a problem with looking at someone who's not my spouse or whatever. But I do like some romantic and inappropriate books. I like to read those novels. So even those of us who are maybe are old school and they like to read, I like to read. I don't like looking at stuff on a screen. I like to read my books and my study material. So maybe you're looking at, you're reading stuff and you're putting stuff in your mind that you shouldn't be reading. Whatever it is, we're to be living for Christ and not for our lustful desires of this world. Because the passion, James tells us, the Bible tells us, the Word tells us, it leads to destruction. And it's opposite of the ways of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 19, it says this. Look at it with me. It says, because of the weakness, we were called sheep for a reason by our Savior. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led even deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to the righteous living so that you will become what, church? That sounds like sanctification. God wants you to be a slave to Christ so you can be sanctified and you will become holy. Here's what Paul is saying. When you have that impure thought, he says it somewhere else in the Bible, in the New Testament, he says, take your thoughts captive. Take it captive. When you have that thought and you begin to rebuke it. Rebuke it out loud. I've done that before. Lord, I don't know where that thought came from, but I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And you start focusing on the cross, start focusing on Jesus, and all of a sudden it makes it just really put it into place how nasty that thought was. All right, when you want to look at pornography, that's something you struggle with, get your Bible. Put the pornography down and grab your Bible and open it up. You don't know where to start? Get into Psalms. Get into Proverbs. Talks a lot about that kind of stuff. Start right at Matthew and start reading the New Testament. Whatever. Switch it. That mind flip. You got to combat it. Hit your knees and start praying. Enemy puts thoughts in your heads that you were created to be another sex that you're not created, that you weren't born as, or vice versa. Whatever it is, if you struggle with same-sex attraction, pray for God to help you. Don't fight the battle all alone. Say, God, I know this isn't right. I know it's impure. I know deep down in my heart, even if the world tells me it's right, it's not right, and you know it's not good for me. I know it's not good for me. Help me to see the truth. Get into the source of truth. Get into His Word and discover, rediscover. Maybe you need to rediscover God's will for your life. I got to rediscover God's will for my life and His truth all the time. Every time your eyes want to look at someone with lust, if you're married, you know what you need to do? Start praying for your spouse. That'll change your mindset real quick. Start praying for your spouse. If not, pray for the person that you're lusting after. Maybe you're not married. Then pray for the person that you had that lustful thought for. Because all of a sudden what happens then is instead of filling your mind with some kind of romantic, immoral, you know, thoughts of whatever that person, you suddenly see them as a person. And you say, God created them and God has a purpose for them, and my job is really to be witnessing to them about what Jesus has done in my life, and here I am thinking about them with immoral thoughts. If you're filling your mind with stuff that's immoral, just stop. Put it down. Delete the app, whatever it is. Instead of opening up Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever else you want to call it, and whatever else is the newest thing that comes down the pipe, if that's what's causing you to have these lustful passions, get rid of it. It's so easy. You just take your phone out, and I'm not a phone guy. Mine, you just hold down on the app, and it starts moving, and you hit uninstall. Right there, you have won a battle. You have won a battle. And then you pick up, and then you go to another app called the Holy Bible, and you open that up. There's devotions that will help you through whatever you're dealing with. Get a life application Bible. It'll take you straight to the verses that will help you with what you're struggling with. The bottom line is this. If we want to bear the name of Christian, we must desire each day to be sanctified more and more and more. Don't give up on me. I know this is a tough message. Let's go to the next couple verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. It says this, and this is our last couple verses for today. It says this, never harm or cheat a fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife. For the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives His Holy Spirit to you. So here we see Paul right here in these couple verses, these three verses, giving us some really plain to see, easy reasons, if you need those, more than what we've already said and more that we've already heard, to live a life of purity. In these few verses today, we see Paul giving us four reasons. This is four that jumped out at me. Number one is this. Verse 6, he tells us this, that this immorality, what it does is it cheats or harms other people. That's basically what he said. It's what it does. Sexual sin always steals from somebody. It steals from them. It will take a wife from a husband. It'll take a husband from a wife. It will take a parent from their children and children from their parent. And even if you're not married, if you give in to sexual sin, it steals your innocence. It robs you of your, it robs that special union that your husband and your wife, that God created you to have with your husband and your wife. It's that simple. And again, if you've been through it, you don't need a preacher to tell you the damage that it does. We're all human here. That's why God told us not to covet what belongs to our neighbor. Exodus chapter 20, you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. When he gave out the Ten Commandments, he says this in chapter 20, verse 17 of Exodus. He says, you must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant. Today I translate that into a brand new Silverado 2500 HD diesel. that my neighbor has. Ox or donkey or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. All right? Let's put it in context. That's what. How often do we want what we don't have, what other somebody else has, whether it could be our neighbor's house, our neighbor's wife? Man, I tell you, if my wife would just do what this person's wife does, my marriage would be better. Yeah, that's not right. Sexual sin steals from your neighbor. That's what it does. Number two, Paul tells us another reason to live a life of purity. He tells us later in verse 6, the second reason is to stay pure is because God himself will avenge immorality. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand, have you ever seen the superheroes, the Avengers? They come and they come to avenge the wrong in the world. All right, those are made up superheroes. I don't want God's vengeance to be upon me. So this is one of the verses that we like to skip over sometimes. Oh, think of things of heaven and not of earth and whatever. Oh, that's okay. Let's go to the next one. God will bless you, We like to look over these sometimes, when in fact, we had better take heed to the warnings that we hear in here, especially in this promiscuous times that we are living in today, where every immoral act and lifestyle seems not only to be accepted, but promoted and shoved down your throat, and you're shamed if you're not living that way. We must step back, and we must think about how God looks at the way that we live. It's that simple. It doesn't matter what your heart feels. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. We talk about it all the time, and I say that's the narrow gate youth. Everybody else is going to go down the broad path, but we're going to stay on the straight path. We're going to take the narrow path. It's not easy, but we're going to stay there. Because ultimately, we have a final judgment. God will have the final judgment. And his wrath is just as real as his love, his grace, and his mercy. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a place called hell. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "In flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ," or our Lord Jesus. See, different people are motivated by different things, but if nothing else will motivate you today, maybe the wrath and the judgment of God should motivate us to live pure lives. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Today, maybe you can just think about it. You've never heard anybody preach that before or whatever. You can just say, man, I don't want to be under the wrath of God. Maybe I should accept the free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ gave me on the cross. He already gave his son to make a way for you to be forgiven and to be holy and to be into heaven and to be into his presence. He already sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is here today available for you to be your advocate, to be your helper, not only to come to Christ, but to also live a pure and holy life and to grow. So is God supposed to be okay after he's given us all of that with us just living an impure life? The answer is no. We're called to live holy lives. It's that simple. Again, not my word, not my words, it's God's words. The third reason we see is this. The reason we're to live pure lives is simply because it's God's calling for us as believers. But Paul told the church in Thessalonica, that's what he told them. Paul tells us in verse 7 of the text that we just read, he says, God has called us to live pure lives. God didn't save you when you believed so you could go on living for the world. That's just the truth. God saved you for a new purpose. I walked in the youth group this morning in their Sunday school class and got put on the spot by Danny. He said, hey, tell them real quick, 30 seconds, what your testimony is. And I was like, whoa, nothing like being put under the spotlight. But the way that I would describe it and the way I described to them is I said, I had a new purpose. God showed me when I surrendered to him what my real purpose for being created for. What it was. He saved us and he calls us to build stronger character in our life, to be a witness for him, to build stronger communities, stronger families, stronger nations, and last but not least, stronger churches. That's what he wants us to do. We can't do that when we're living for the world. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says this, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So if you've put your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, he has called you to live a holy life. What you got to do to every day that you get up, what you got to do this morning, what I have to do, is I got to put it on. I got to put it on. I got to say, nope, I'm putting on my new nature. I am no longer that person. I am new in Christ. Amen? Lastly, in verse 8, number 4, Paul tells us that immorality is a sin that directly goes against God. An unbeliever can argue with a true believer all day long about how the Bible is outdated. A Christian can argue with you, or I can argue with one of you guys about some kind of sin in my life and say, well, I can justify it all I want. Well, I think it's okay because of this going on in my life or whatever. But the fact is this, when a person rejects the ways of God, notice what he says. He's not talking about that we just mess up every now and then. He's talking about messing up and being okay with being in that mess of messing up and saying, I'm not gonna resist it. When a person rejects the ways of God, they are rejecting God. They're not rejecting Pastor Anthony Clore. They're not rejecting Billy Graham. They're rejecting God. That's what they're doing. And every person who's broken God's law will receive the vengeance of God. Now, that should motivate those who don't know Christ to turn to him today, but that should also motivate us who have already turned to Christ to go reach the lost. Amen? We don't look down on them and say, man, the vengeance of God is coming on those people. I told them not to be living like that. No, we should be running after them saying, please, listen to me. God has a gift for you. And unless they've repented and turned to God through Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, the message is clear today. We are called to live a holy life. Walking with God, allowing him to make us more holy every day we walk, more and more. We're going to mess up, but we say, God, help me. Forgive me for that, and he's going to do that. He's going to wash you clean again, and he's going to throw your sins in the depths of the sea, and he's going to say, keep on following with me, child. Walk with me, and let me show you how to be holy. I'll use that as a lesson so next time you won't fall into that. What God does, because he's full of rich, tender mercy. That's who he is. Church, we've seen today that Paul gave this earnest exhortation. He told us that God's will is for us to be daily, every day, walking with him and being sanctified. And then he gave us all these reasons, if we need them, after even talking about those things, to be pure and to live a pure life, to seek after a pure life. So as we close today, I would just put this charge there before you. We have to make a choice. You see, if we're honest during this message, or maybe reading the passages that we've read, it could be in some of the supporting scripture, and it could be the actual text that we read today. Most of us here have thought of some kind of impurity in our lives. If you're honest... If I'm honest, and we just have to make this choice, am I going to keep living for that, or am I going to turn away from it and say, Holy Spirit, teach me, help me, God, help me to resist this and to live for you? Are we going to reject his call? Because he's working on somebody's heart today. It's not just mine. And saying, I want you to walk away from that. Are we going to reject his call, or are we going to listen and obey him? Let me remind us today that God's promises goes both ways. There's promises all throughout the scripture that go both ways. He promises that sin will not go unpunished. Sin will be punished. But he also promises that our sin can be forgiven and wiped away if we would just repent and turn to Christ. Not only will he forgive us of our sins, but he'll restore us. And he'll use our mistakes as a testimony for his glory. This is the power of the gospel. That's what we call the gospel. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of your word. And we thank you for being a father, a heavenly father, who loves us enough to tell us the truth, who loves us enough to discipline us, to smack our hand every now and then and say, Anthony, you're wrong. To convict our hearts and say, it's not right. When we're reading the word, we bringing those things to the surface in our life that are keeping us really from living that pure and holy life that you want for us. I thank you this morning. I praise you for the harshness of the words that we read today, because that's what we need to hear. And you know it, because you know what's best for us. You know each person's heart that's here today. Lord, what I pray today, my prayer today, starting with me, is that we would have repentant hearts and that we would say, whatever it is, whether we can categorize it, we can say it's a big sin or a little sin, that we will repent and we will leave it and we will turn and we will walk with you. Say, God, sanctify me. Sanctify me. Make me holy. I don't believe we've seen just a taste of what you can do through this one little body right here in Fork Union if we all had that same desire to walk with you in a pure life. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.